Because we're honoring the vets, today I'm going to preach a message on good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I was hoping Art Carpio could, I could get a hold of Art or... Miles. Brother Mel, I could have sworn that what Miles was, the city he was going to try to build a new work, I could have sworn they mentioned that on the TV. That new work, that new city that he was going to try to put a church in. Miles, Tomas? Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, I've been very concerned. If you hear any word, if you hear anything out of the, let me know, would you, Brother Mal? We love those people so much, and I'm very concerned about it. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you today. Good to see you. And again, for you men and ladies that served our country, our deepest gratitude. Thank you for and for you serving right now. We have a couple men in that are serving right now. Thank you. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. You're special in this church. we put a high priority on the military people. And notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I heard Pastor Dave do Sunday school in it. And by the way, grace, I'm thankful for the local church. I believe Jesus started the church. I believe he started when he was on this earth. He was the founder of the Fundamental Baptist. He started it. He started the local church. But the church doesn't save you. We're going to baptize a young man here not too long, in a few minutes, and the baptism don't save you. But there is one that can save you. His name is Jesus. Notice what it says. In the grace, it's in no other person. It's in no other person. That in the grace that is in, read it with me, Christ Jesus. You want to go to heaven? Get Christ as your Savior. No other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the Bible says in the book of Acts. And the things that, look, and here's this, when I went to Bible college, here's one of our theme verses. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We need some faithful men to carry out the word of God, who shall be able to teach others also. And then my text verse, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. Got to have a little leather in you. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, I believe you told me to preach this message, and Holy Spirit, now I pray you'll help me to speak well for the Lord. Lord, fill me and use me, Father. And Lord, help me not to, Lord, help me to do well for you, that I could be a blessing to everyone here. Again, Father, we thank you for all those that served our country. God bless them. God put a hedge around them and protect them, even the ones that are, especially the ones that are in the armed services right now. And be with our military overseas right now and all over the world. I pray you'll just bless them today. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we honor our men and women who have faithfully served our country to preserve our rights and liberty. I'm telling you, how many like having freedom? Amen. I do. Thank God for those that helped preserve our freedom. I put this down. We cannot express to each of you who served our country. I can't, from the depths of my heart, I can't thank you enough. I can't express to you my gratitude. This church can't express our gratitude to you. We keep American flags up on the wall all the time. They're just not up here all just for this weekend. No, they're here 52 weeks a year. We love our country. We love the flag. And if people don't like our country, then you ain't going to like it here. Because I'm a patriot. I truly believe God Almighty birthed our country. America's no accident. God birthed America. That's the reason we have this country today. I believe there's three reasons why God birthed America. Number one was to print the Word of God. No country's printed the Word of God like we have. Number two, to publish the Word of God. America's had more preachers all over the world as missionaries than any other country. So we printed the Word of God. We printed the gospel. We proclaimed the gospel, and we've taken it all over the world. We printed it. We published it. And I think the third reason God has blessed America, because we've always been a friend and to protect Israel. I worry about the liberal Democrats. Oh, you shouldn't say that, preacher. If you're a liberal, you won't make it in this church. So hang on. Because I'm just straightforward. Our country's in trouble because we're so liberal. We need to get back to the old ways. We need to get back to the old Bible. Like King James Bible. And I believe because we printed it and published it, Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." And I believe God used Americans. By the way, you vets, you say, why are you preaching this? Because you vets played a part in helping America continue to proclaim and print God's holy word. If you think if Hitler would have won, we'd be printing the Bible today, he was burning them. God bless you vets. You kept, not only did you keep the flag flying, you kept this old King James Bible going out. I know God will keep it preserved forever. But I'm going to tell you, what you did, though, when you served our country, you helped promote the gospel. You say, boy, I never heard anybody say it. No. I'm going to tell you, do you think that we won by accident? If you think we won those wars by our goodness, you got another thing coming. If it wasn't the Almighty, we wouldn't have won no war. And so, down through the history of our country, men and women have sacrificed and gave themselves to preserve our freedom and our liberties. And I think, I'm glad I'm free. I'm glad I've got liberty. How about you? I recorded a few that most of you would be familiar with. I just listed eight of them, and then I'm going to preach to you. But the American Revolutionary War, 50,000 people died. Civil War, 646,300. I got this out of Wikipedia, so I'm not a great computer guy, but this is what I got. Hope they're right. By the way, more Union people died than Confederates. 364,511 Union died during the Civil War. 299,524 was the Confederates. They actually had less killed, but we had more of a economics and more military cannons and stuff like that. Wasn't that they weren't good fighters. We just had, they had a lot stacked against them. World War I, 320,518 gave their life for you and that flag. World War II, 1,076,245. And I meant to question, what would our life be if Hitler would have won? I wonder how America, Brother Marty, I wonder how America would be if Hitler would have won. I bet I wouldn't have brought them little girls up here right now. They would have put me in prison or killed me because I was a preacher of the gospel. The Korean War, 1950s, 128,650 killed. Vietnam War. We have a lot of Vietnam War vets here. God bless our Vietnam vets. I think they were the most overlooked man. And I know it's from my time. And by the way, I went to serve in America. I would have been in Vietnam, and I went down with my buddy, Mike McElroy, and I was the star. I was the star football fullback. I was the star center fielder, home run hitter. He was just a regular guy. And they took Mike and they turned me down. They said I had flat feet. And because when I was small, when I was young, and I don't take it now, I had epilepsy, what they call petit mal. And when I was a young boy, my hand would tremble. They said my brain waves faster than most people. I said, I knew that already. But Vietnam War, 211,454 men were killed. And some of my friends that I grew up with died in Vietnam. I don't know one guy from Vietnam that wasn't scarred either. I'm saying all the wars were horrible. Don't misunderstand me. And I thank God, like Brother Richard sir, God bless you. And I know World War I was horrific. Vietnam vets, so they were mistreated. And they served our country honorably. And I thank God for our Vietnam vets. I thank God for all our vets. And But the Vietnam vet wasn't honored like he should have been. I think all vets, no matter where they were, should be honored. So I try to make a big fuss about the Vietnam vet sometimes, only because they were mistreated. Would you give my Vietnam vets a great hand again? Thank you for serving our country. Then I got, by the way, you ought to see all the Indian Wars and stuff. I tried to print it off. They wouldn't let me print it. At least my printer wouldn't do it, or maybe I wasn't pushing the right button. I'm not too smart on a computer. Iraqi War, 36,210 died in Iraq War. Afghanistan, over 20,000. We know the Iraqi War. One of our boys that grew up here as a kid here with me, Brother Kenny White in the back, blown up there. Thank you for serving, Kenny. You sure made your preacher in this church proud of you, Ken. We sure love you, Kenny. Would you give my Iraqi War veteran a great hand? God bless you. And I know some, they're not here today, Kenny, but a couple of the boys that you run with, the Robinson boys, what's that? DJ, and DJ and Art, both over in Iraq. I don't know where those kids are. They're North Carolina or somewhere. I don't know. Where are they at? Do you know Eddie? DJ's in Texas. Where's Art? Yeah. Two big boys that grew up in this church. Boy, I don't know how Pastor Dave, boy, he used to wrestle all them kids, man. I don't know how he did it. Man. Yeah. That's why you ain't got no money today, man. I know this is church service, but I sure love the boys. I love our kids. I love our babies. I bring them up and hug them and kiss them. And you know what? We had some good kids in this church. And we had four or five boys. The other Robinson boy, Mike Robinson, now there's Dale, your son. Is it your boy? Ryan. He served. Yes. And so, I mean, I thank God for all our boys. And boy, Kenny and those Robinson kids, they were some tough kids too, boy. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'll tell you one thing. I know when Pastor Dave had the youth group here, he had the toughest youth group in all the country. Yes, sir. He had some real punchers, buddy. And I got to get back this message. I remember being in pastor school and that one kid tried to stop take our chairs, and Art stood up and said, I'm going to take you out. The kid said, go on. And Art started to take, he said, oh, never mind, I didn't think you were going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. But, little Eddie flipped the kid over the thing. I'll tell you, we might not have a good testimony, but we got some great kids in our church, I'll tell you that right now. We have a testimony. Don't mess with our Bethel Baptist boys. I like that testimony, too. Thank God for you that are here and served our country. Thank God for you. Thank God for all the brave men and women down through the years who have sacrificed and for our country so we can have freedom and liberty. Today, I want to salute each one of you. Today I want to salute you and tell you thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You played a great role. You veterans have played a great role in America. You really have. I tell you, turn that phone off. You owe me a pizza. If the phone rings during church, you owe a pizza now to the preacher. Okay. Hey, pepperoni and sausage. Oh, now you're. That's right. You got put the works on. I'm not paying for it. Turn your phones off before you come to church. I do enough distractions. I don't need any. But I believe there's some special care. You want? Can I get? I got to get dinner in 15 minutes to get you guys out of here. And I haven't even started preaching yet. I believe there's some special characteristics about good soldiers for Christ. Let me give you three real quick ones. A good soldier will have a great love and loyalty. A good soldier for Christ will have a great love and loyalty for their God, for their country, and for the people of the country. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm proud to be an American. A few years ago, Shannon and Dave and me and Mom went to New York, and I went by the Statue of Liberty, and I'm going to tell you right now, I love seeing the Statue of Liberty. I love America. I'm all American. I love baseball, apple pie, and what was it? Chevrolet! I own two of them. And so, I love that. Listen, I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful that God for letting me to be. Listen, if you're American today, you were born in the greatest country of all the world. The most special is Israel, but we're blessed here in America. We have been blessed by God to be born in America. You know what I mean? Look, the people from all over the world, they try to get into America. People have died trying to get into America. Don't say bad things about our country. We've got the greatest country in the world. We've got a country that God blessed and still blessing. I hope he never takes his hand off us. I'm afraid he's gonna. I love our flag. Brother Steve, I love our flag. You should have love for that flag and take pride in it. By the way, don't burn the flag in front of me. You burn that flag in front of me, I'm going to tell you right now. I know I'm all crippled up now. Oh, if I can't whoop you, I'll take a club. If I can't take a club, I'll get something to shoot you with or something. I don't know. Beat you with. I'll call the Robinson boys and say, take care of that guy. You say, that's pretty harsh. No, I think we ought to love our country. We ought to love that flag. Can you imagine they let people burn that flag? You men and women have served our country and put your life on the line, and they'll let people burn that flag. They ought to run them out of America. Amen. Get out of my country. I love America. I'm proud to be an American. And I love the American flag. Stands for liberty and freedom and God blessing our country. I always give people that don't like our country. Well, why don't they get out then, John? You say, boy, you're pretty harsh. No, I'm just being truthful. Amen. America, we ought to know that we're blessed beyond measure because God blessed us here. I'm proud to be an American. If I could choose any country, this is a country I would choose. Listen, I'm willing to fight for the flag in our country. I'm willing to die for it. And by the way, you ought to have that same attitude. And by the way, these men and women that served, they did have that attitude. I want you to look at the scripture with me. Look at 1 Peter. I got you in Timothy. Move up. 1 Peter. Look at verse 13 through 17. 1 Peter 2. Let me see, did I write that down right? Yes. Here, Christians ought to be role models. Look up here. We ought to be role model Americans. We should be the leaders for our country. We should be the one, our work ethic should outdo other people. Hello? Our life ought to have purity. We ought to be separated. And people ought to see a distinction in a Christian than a non-Christian. Yes. Notice what God says here in 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I do it because God tells me to. By the way, I know this isn't my country. I'm just passing through. But right now, it's what God's given me. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors, and unto them that... By the way, that's why I pay taxes. I hate paying taxes, but I pay it. Because it says, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God what's under God. So I pay my tithe every week, and I pay my taxes at the end of the year. You say, do you like paying them? No, I don't like paying taxes, but I like my country. And those taxes make it possible for us to do things. By the way, do I agree with most of the stuff that they do with my money? No. But that's the thing you have to put up with when you live in the greatest country in the world. Or unto governors, as unto them that sent him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. God, local government, Billy, God ordained local government. The local government blesses the man that abides by the law. A local government punishes the evildoers. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free as not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. See that verse 17? Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We ought to have a sense of patriotism, and we ought to have a sense of love for our country. And we look up here. Too many people take lightly the importance of being an American. We need to stand strong. We need to vote. I wish there was more Christians voting. You know my stand. I'm a far right winger. I'm far. Ruthie, I'm so far right. I'm way out there right. Because I'm right. We ought not be riotous rebels. We ought to be righteous and upright citizens, working hard, separated, godly. We are to be great patriots for our country and for those in our country, serving country. Listen to me. We need some old-fashioned Christian Americans. These men and women have served our country. They have preserved our country for us. Let's not take it for granted. Amen. Numbers 2, a good soldier should be willing to lay down his life for his country. Every person you saw stand today was willing to lay down their life for our country. We ought to be willing to lay our down. Praise God, for 237 years, they have been brave Americans laying down their lives so we can have freedom and liberty. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. We'll never know the full extent the sacrifice of thousands of millions of Americans have paid to give us this liberty. But I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to be thankful and don't take it for granted. I also remembered, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. There's a price to pay for freedom. you young people, look, don't take your freedom for granted. Freedom's not free. A lot of people died and sacrificed their families and their homes, especially even our early founders, 56 signers of independence, Declaration of Independence. They all lost their families and lost their money and all fortunes and stuff. I'm going to tell you, right from the beginning, people sacrificed so you could have a great America. Don't take America for granted. I want to read to you. There is a cost to have freedom, a great cost. By the way, the ultimate freedom that we get through Christ was paid by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price for all mankind, not just the United States of America, for all mankind. Look, are you in Peter with me? Why don't you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your feigned conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but you, here's what you redeemed by. Here's what it cost Jesus so we could win the war over sin and death and hell. See, Jesus was the greatest soldier there ever was. He went to the battleground for you and I and fought and defeated sin, death, and the hell. Aren't you glad we can have eternal life because of him? He laid down his life so we could live. But with the, you've been redeemed, but with the precious blood, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish, without spot. Man, Christ shed his sinless blood so you and I could be saved. Man, I'm glad. What a soldier for us. What a soldier for God. Amen? Now look, at most people stop at verse 19. I want you to see verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world. Before the foundation, it was Christ was, but was manifested in the last times. Look up here. Before there was the sun, the moon, the stars, before there was the Pacific Ocean, before there was land, before Adam and Eve, way back in time, the Holy Trinity got together and said, one day we're going to have man. And man's going to fall in sin, and we're going to need a redeemer for mankind. Jesus spoke out, I believe. Because they said, who will go for us? And I believe Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go and die for them. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad Christ died for us. Amen. I'm glad he will. Boy, Brother Coolidge, when I hear these so-called Bible teachers talk about Jesus in the garden being afraid, getting second thoughts of going to Calvary, I want to give them a knuckle sandwich. I want to stomp on their foot. I actually want to kick them somewhere. I want to lift them up. Boy, that's an ornery old man they got there for a pastor. I'm going to tell you, Christ, they're going to tell you, oh, he was afraid. He wasn't afraid. When you read there in the garden, it says his sweat became blood. Jesus wasn't trying to get out of going to the cross. He knew he was going to the cross before the foundation of the world was made. That was determined years before he ever, he surrendered to go. That blood came down on Christ. He sweat blood because when he, see, Jesus had no sin, ever. Jesus was holy. He was perfect. He was without sin. And just, see, he became our sin on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Just the thought of him having to become sin, and then the sin of all the world, It stirred him so much that blood, he sweat blood. Just the thought of becoming sin. It's not his nature. How many are still with me? Jesus never thought about backing down. He was just so impulsed and moved because he would have to become sin. And his holiness just could not take that. But he did it anyways. Aren't you glad he did? They took Jesus to Calvary. I want you to look at one more verse with me. Look at Isaiah chapter 52. I'm almost done. Hold on. I'm just now starting to preach. I think our veterans are worth honoring. I think it's worth a day to take some time and acknowledge their service to our country and to God. Because I believe they were used of God to keep America free. I want you to look at the scripture in Isaiah 52:14. We can't comprehend the suffering of Christ. Isaiah 50:14 says this, as many, you got Isaiah 52:14? As many were stunned at his visage, the way he looked, the way Jesus looked, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. That says there, Brother Bobby, that Christ on the cross was marred more than any man had ever been marred ever before. Brother Eddie, his body was so mutilated that people couldn't imagine the mutilation that was done to his body. Every bone out of joint. And they took that cat of nine tails and they whipped him and they pulled back. And they whipped him, and they pulled back and around all that metal and glass. And whenever they wrap around, then his body would rip. And they pull back, and every time they pulled back, those straps would rip out the flesh. And then rip it out. And they did it again and again. 39 times they whipped the Son of God and pulled back. And when Jesus came to the cross of Calvary, his body was so mutilated, it was beyond human form. That's what that scripture's. That's how much he suffered for you and me. You talk about sacrifice. You talk about surrender. You talk about suffering. The Son of God went that far for you and I. Can anyone say amen or oh me? I'm thankful for Calvary. I truly don't believe we could ever fully understand and grasp the magnitude of the depth of suffering that our Savior did on Calvary's cross to redeem our sinful souls. Not only did he justify us from condemnation, but he sanctified us, and one day he's going to glorify us. Hallelujah. He's prepared a wonderful place in heaven for us. Mansion in glory, the Bible talks of. Revelation 1:6 says he's made us priests and kings. 1 Peter 2:9 says we become a royal priesthood. 1 John 5:4-5, he made us overcomers. I'm glad I'm an overcomer through Christ. He has given us victory over death, hell, and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:54, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. He gave it to us all. Then finally, in closing, a good soldier will listen to the voice of his heavenly Father, the Commander-in-Chief. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll be closing. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. He listens to the voice. Are we listening to the voice of him today? Isaiah said in verse 8 of chapter 6, also I heard the voice. Do you hear God speak to you? Are you trying to hear him? He speaks to you through the word of God, by the way. You're not going to hear, hey, preacher. You're not going to do that. No. He works in a still small voice within the Holy Spirit. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God bless every one of you military people that served our country. I'm glad you went for us. Well, just like they went for us, God wants us to go for him. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Us, the Trinity there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then said I, here am I. Send me. You know what? There's not enough volunteers today for the work of God. We need some young men. You young men and you young ladies ought to pray, God, what are you going to want my life to be? What do you want me to be with my life? What do you want me to do with my life? Maybe some of you could be missionaries. Some of you could be preachers. Some of you could be evangelists. Some of you could be preacher's wives. I don't know what. Maybe teaching Sunday school. Maybe teaching Christian school. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, you ought to be asking God, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I'll do it. By the way, not just the young people, every one of you also, no matter what age you are. What does God want you to do? Here am I, send me. I'll go do that. I'll go give the track out. I'll vacuum the carpet. Hello? I'll drive the bus. I'll knock on the doors for the bus kids. Hello? There's a lot of things. Here am I, send me. Listen, when God speaks to us, we should immediately volunteer for service. If you know God speaks to you about something, volunteer. Do what God tells you to do. And I close in that verse 11. Look at that verse 11. He asked, after he told me he's supposed to go, then Isaiah said, well, how long am I supposed to go for? Then said, let me get verse 11 there in Isaiah 6. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants. Till there's no more people. Keep going till there's no more people. Keep running those buses, Danny, till there's not one kid on the block. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man and the land be utterly destroyed. In other words, and keep on going. Don't quit until there's no one to go to. Yeah, amen. How long should we serve them? The answer to Isaiah was until the cities be wasted without inhabitants. In other words, by the way, keep going. Keep serving. Don't ever stop. By the way, don't turn to it, but remember we started out in 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness. You to keep going, you got to have a hardness. Because you get your feelings hurt and you get things. Everything in life don't come easy. And Satan's always out there to try to discourage you and to try to get you to quit. You got to tell Satan to go home. Listen, how long do we go? Brother Mike, we're to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep serving, keep serving. Never quit, never stop, never give up, never turn around, never throw the towel in, never say, I'm going to turn back. No, not like John Mark. No, don't turn back. Amen. Listen, we've got marching orders from our commander-in-chief. The Bible talks about him in Hebrews 2:10 as being the captain of our salvation. And he's saying, go, go, go. You know, you can't spell God without G-O, G-O-D. You can't spell gospel without G-O, G-O-S-P-E-L. Go for God, go for the gospel. How many are still with me? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, how long do we go? Isaiah says, how long should we go? God says, till there ain't nobody left. I think that's a pretty long time. See, and I'm all done. He said, just keep going. When there ain't no more people, you can stop. So we're going to keep going, 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 going. We're going to keep going, 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 going. And one day God's going to call us up in the rapture. Hallelujah. And there are going to be no more people for us. Amen. We're going to be in glory land. But you got to have a heart as this. I'll not quit. I'll not give up. You're a young preacher. We're gonna get a preacher boy day. We get a bunch of your kids to preach. Give them each 15 minutes. Let them shuck the corn on a Sunday night. Get a message ready. You got to determine your heart. You won't quit. You won't give up. That the gospel is more important to go forward than to you to stop. That's how you stay in the ministry and become an old man. Because there's been a lot of times preachers wanted to quit. There's a lot of times me and Rosie have sat and cried. And ready to quit on a Sunday night, but then Monday I got up and said, we're going to try it again. Hello? How many felt like quitting in your life? Usually didn't raise your hand, you're lying. But that's all right. just have a heart. Boy, I see Jesus. They did everything they could to stop him from going to Calvary, but he kept going. He just kept going. He kept going. And they put him on that cross, and there from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, 6 hours. God made man on the sixth day. Six the number, and there for 6 hours, there the Son of God suffered and bled his and gave his blood so you and I could have forgiveness of sins. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when Jesus was on the cross, he shed his blood. He gave his life for you and I. And he never quit. Then they threw him in a tomb. First day, old Satan came by. Said, "You got him, grave?" He said, "Ha, I got him." Okay. Second day he came by, Satan said, "The grave, you got him, grave?" He said, "Don't worry. He ain't moved a flinch." But the third day, this kid's a little fundamentalist, but the third day, you know what happened? The ground shook, the stone rolled back, and up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah! Amen. We've got a real Savior, a risen Savior, a resurrected Savior, a reigning Savior, and hallelujah, one day soon, we're going to have a returning Savior. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these dear soldiers of our country that have sacrificed so much. Pray you bless them in a special way. And today we want to thank you for the greatest soldier that ever was, that charged up the hill, Calvary's hill, to redeem mankind from their sin. I pray today, Father, everyone here that knows you will rejoice in what you've done for them. I pray if there's any here that doesn't know you as Savior, today they'll get saved and they won't have to die and go to hell. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, "Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner." By the way, you that are going to get baptized, you come right now. Come right now. Take them back there, Coolidge. "Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I asked Christ to save me, and I know I'm going to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved." Thank you. May put them down. Is there any here today who'd say, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you, and I won't come to you, and I won't embarrass you. I promise you. I just want to pray for you." And you'd say, "Pastor, I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell, preacher. Pray for me." Anyone like that today, just raise that hand. "Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't really want to go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that at all, just raise your hand, put it back down. Let me see it. Who'd say that today? "I'm not sure." There's no shame in not knowing. It's the shame is when you know and you don't respond to it. If you've never asked Christ to save you, you're one heartbeat from hell. Jesus came and suffered so you wouldn't have to go to hell. But you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save them which are lost. He gave his life a ransom for many. And you could be that in there if you would receive what he's done for you. One last thing. Maybe you'd say today, "Preacher, I've not been serving Christ like I should. Pray for me." Anyone like that? "I've not been a good soldier." Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Father, help us all to be good soldiers for you. You were such a tremendous soldier for us. And thank you again for those that have served our country. Oh God, I pray today you reach down and hug each one. May they feel your love and presence and mercy. May you fill them with joy unspeakable. May you watch over them and bless their families. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand. What page are you on, John? 394. If you want to come for any reason, you come.